Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline, and today we are going to be recapping Season 6, Episode 5 of Pretty Little Liars, called...
She's No Angel.
She's No Angel. That's like what would be bedazzled on a baby tee on Paris Hilton and a paparazzi. I meant to say pap, and then I was also saying paparazzi, so we got paparazzi. Right. But exactly. That's like, is that not just a shirt that Paris Hilton absolutely owned and then Alexis Nyer stole?
Definitely. Or, I mean, even just like, I thought you meant like a literal baby t-shirt, which is also true.
Okay, so Phoebe, I need to welcome you to the year 2024 where a baby tee is something we're all expected to know about.
No, I did. In fact, at first I was like, I could immediately picture like a Walmart baby t-shirt that says she's no angel. Just like, I mean, you know how they always have those like little like funny sayings about how this little girl is not what you expect.
Yeah, I love when they have them for the little boys and they're like, this guy is a major freaking player, and it's like, oh
chick
my god
magnet.
Okay, Jesus Christ. Have you watched any of the Paris and Nicole Encore special?
No, not yet. I've been really in my Southern charm bag, and it's like anytime that's I okay. sit down now that I started watching it, I'm like, I should, like, I started Conclave because I've been wanting to see it and it's finally on streaming. And I was like, okay, I am enjoying this and like I know that I would like this, but I am only thinking about Southern Charm right now, so I have to turn it off.
Wow. And it is such a good thing you didn't watch that show when I was in college in Charleston.
Oh my god. I would have been inseparable.
Could you imagine?
I would have been sending you on daily missions. I probably would have joined Reddit.
You would have joined CFC. You would have said, okay, I have to graduate early and I need to go. Or you know what? Better yet, I'm just going to pack a bag and go. Mom and Dad won't notice for a couple of days that I'm gone. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to go live. Caroline's got a single dorm now, I heard. I'm going to go live there.
I am watching Southern Charm during Christmas time doing a Charleston at Christmas time puzzle.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait, you mean okay. Yeah.
It's Christmas time now. But
that I did know.
Was this your dream Mona Vanderwaal performance or what? Were you just obsessed?
If I could have dreamt up a Mona Vanderwaal return part two, this is exactly what I would have chosen. I would have wanted her in full Jenna Marshall cosplay.
That's what I wrote down.
Big cat eye diva sunglasses, probably.
She's like
stolen.
She's like a combo of Jenna Marshall, which I did write down, but she's also giving Georgina from Gossip Girl.
She's giving like Georgina and Mourning, and it's like, oh, what's she up to? Mona, and I'm sure we're gonna be making many a parallel when we're doing Gossip Girl and Georgina Sparks comes onto our screen, because Mona and Georgina, the way that I'd like to see Allison and Blair do like a little standoff, I would also love to see Mona and Georgina just have at it.
Who do you think would win? Because I have my idea.
Well, it depends. What are the circumstances? Can you kind of set the scene for me? Like,
I think it's like,
what are we fighting about?
Psychological and verbal.
Who's the crazy bitch around here?
Yeah, that vibe.
I think, oh my God, here's the thing. My instinct, honestly, was to say Mona because I think she's a little bit cleaner than Georgina.
Me too.
Like, I think Georgina gets distracted by men and just by the idea of, like, this life a little bit. And I think Mona never really got distracted. I mean,
yeah.
I think she knew what she was doing. But on the other
Which
hand...
Which, that's an interesting wrinkle to if Spencer had joined the A team. I think Mona would have gotten frustrated.
Yeah.
Because I think... I mean, Spencer... Don't get me wrong. She can drill down on one task, but her mind is in a million different places. And yeah. Mona, I think, is more
organized. Spencer's got
organized.
Vices. Yeah. Spencer's got vices. And Mona would be like, I'm sorry, I can't trust you. Mm-hmm. I can't trust you. And Georgina has vices. So it's like, but on the other hand, if we look at their playgrounds, I mean, Georgina is operating in New York City.
And in the world. In the world. The global
and
scale.
She just, exactly. Exactly. And she just has more available to her. And her playground is just rife with opportunity that Mona, like, I believe if you sent Mona to New York for more than a night and you said, you're going, you know, to train for social warfare, I think she would do very well. But I don't know. We'd have to completely discombobulate them both. Like, they'd have to do this face
off. They'd have to be
in,
a neutral
Hawaii,
ground. They'd have to do it at Halcyon.
They'd have to do it at Halcyon. And that's, and thank you for knowing where I was going. They'd have to do it at Halcyon. And that is the only way we would know for sure who would come out on top. Mm-hmm. Okay, we need a reality show. That's not really a reality show because these are two fictional characters we are talking about, but we need to create a show that's giving reality, however non-real it is, where we just invite like villains, but it doesn't have to be villains, just like iconic characters to battle it out somewhere, but like we choose the venue and the circumstance and like we
and
set,
they have
we set the
to
scene.
Be in character the entire time.
Well, we're not asking the actors, we're acting the characters.
I was going to say, we were to actually do this, we would pick these infamous characters.
Okay.
And we put them in some kind of arena and we'd say, you have to be in character of Mona Vanderwaal this entire time.
And I would say,
you have to
Michelle
think
Trachtenberg.
And act and do everything.
Michelle, Shelley, do not let me see you slipping into Ice Princess, okay? This is strictly Georgina's territory, okay? No Ice Princess bullshit. Are we clear?
And Janelle, none of that Kansas City Hallmark movie.
And Janelle
character is welcome.
No
here.
Bratz movie. Okay.
No.
Well, maybe a little bit.
Maybe
a little bit. Anywho, let's get into the recap so we can just dive into this episode where, might I also add, Hannah Marin was working her comedy hour. She had me in stitches this episode. I absolutely loved her. And I was like, thank you for the eye candy. Thank you for the eye candy. We got a little bit of Dean, bad boy Dean, back on our screens. And I was happy to see it.
Even though Dean's arguably not a bad boy.
Well, I mean, he's obviously supposed to be giving bad boy a little bit. Like, they have his whole look is like bad boy.
Oh,
you know what
I
mean? I
didn't know that. I didn't notice that. He drives that little like Prius kind of car.
I know, but look, I mean, you can tell. Well, so typically like on TV, if the guy's like not like clean cut, it's like, oh, he's a bad boy. Typically,
I feel like
if you find clean cut, he has like a beard. He's like stubble. Look, I think he's hot, and I'm an expert on bad boys, okay? Just ask my husband, Anthony. Just kidding. But and that is something I was thinking about the other day. I was like, I really should talk way more about my crazy stories from my past with men. Like, I really should talk about it. Before Anthony, because it's like now that I'm married,
guys,
it's
you might think, because like Caroline, I know that you guys are probably looking at Anthony and you're hearing Caroline say that her type is bad boy, and you're like, but that makes no sense.
Yeah.
In high school
and college,
Anthony was a little bit of bad boy.
Well, yeah, when I first liked Anthony, I thought he was a bad boy, and I remember being so floored when I found out he didn't drink alcohol or smoke pot. I was like, yeah, right. Because he gave bad boy energy. He was like class clown vibes, you know? And he was like always in trouble, but it was for like skipping class to go like walk around the hall with a girl. And he was also like the only straight guy in theater. And he was cute. So it was like perfect storm for him just to be a little bit of a bad boy. But he really is not. But I had to get it out of my system. You know, every girl kind of just needs to like, you got to be with some people that maybe are bad news so that you can really appreciate when the good news people show up. Okay. I believe in that.
Right.
But I was like, I'm married. It's all in the past. I really should just tell these stories. Like, I was listening to Extra Dirty, the Hallie Batchfelder. Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
I can't stand her.
I don't think I'll be listening to any more. But
and I didn't like her, I only just saw a clip of her when she had Alex on, not when she was on Call Her Daddy. And they were, like, talking about the way they were talking about money.
Yeah.
I was like, ew. Like, yeah. Why are you acting like well, that. It's not cool. And I don't feel think Alex like, really thinks it's cool.
Well, I feel like Alex is like trying, like it's like when Hallie's there, it's like Alex is like trying to, like I feel like Alex is like speechless half the time. Like she's like, oh my God. And Hallie's like, what?
And I feel like she's like trying to like get back to like.
Yes, yes.
She's trying to find that part of her from like original Call Her Daddy so that she can relate more to Hallie. Yeah. But like, I think she's really just seeing that Hallie's really immature.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know the way she, and Alex talking about money is one thing. Because I do believe that you can say what you will about the content she makes, but like she's worked really hard and what she's built is so impressive.
Yeah.
So it's like, she can talk about money all she wants.
Yeah.
But Hallie,
well, she's talking about it from like a business perspective.
Feel bad. Don't make these people feel like they are less than because they don't have their dad's black card.
Well,
like
also like just don't stop giving people reasons to not like you, because let me tell you, the internet isn't gonna be kind to this girl. I'm like
Alex has managed.
I know
to be rich and to be liked.
Yeah, I'm like. I'm not a fan. The first time I ever heard of her though was with the West drama, like when she hooked up with
West.
Yeah,
you told me about that.
So that was the first time like I ever heard about her, and then I was like, oh my God, like she told a crazy story on Alex Cooper's confessional or something. And then so I was just interested. I listened to like when Alex put it on her page, I listened to their episode like you're talking about, and I just was like, oh my God, okay, I can't hang. I can't hang. But why did I start talking about her?
Because you are going to start your own version
but so anyway,
of
she's,
Extra Dirty.
Yeah. So she's talking about
Caroline's
like,
the next guest, actually.
Yes, I am. Big announcement. She keeps saying, like, oh, guys don't want to like be with me because they're like, you're gonna talk about me. And I'm like, God, yeah, like you really like are going on here and exposing all of these guys' dirty laundry and talking about and like your own, which is fine, do whatever you want, but that would be so like stressful if you were like, my job is to talk about dating and like my crazy stories and I'm also trying to like have a normal dating life. And I was like, since I don't have to worry about that at all, but I have crazy entertaining stories, I really should be using them more. Because
and just like you're at a stage in your life where like
I don't care,
you can you don't have to use names, so it's like those guys aren't gonna have any,
no one's gonna,
they
like,
might recognize
no.
the story, but no one's gonna be like, that's who it is. You're also like not Hallie, who's like an influencer, a podcaster now, and like going and like hooking up with people in New York who are also celebrities and influencers.
Yeah. And some of these guys, I made sure there was not a trace. I mean, you wouldn't be able to you would only know they existed if I told you. Okay. And I think the only ex I've ever named on here is Matt, and he deserves it. So,
yeah, fuck you, Matt.
Fuck you, Matt.
We should make shirts that say that.
We should.
And
because
send
everyone
one.
Has
and
Matt.
All the girls that were in that group chat.
And all the girls. I've definitely told the story of why we hate Matt, right?
I think that's where fuck you, Matt
and
comes
why he
from.
Gets to be named. Yeah. If I haven't, guys, just let me know and we'll tell the story another time. But anyway, I'm going to get into the recap. Okay. So, guys, remember when Spencer was struggling with Adderall? How could you forget? Her parents got her a sober coach who I think looks like a bad boy and Phoebe thinks looks clean cut. And I guess we just really don't know each other at all. Anyway, they had too much sexual chemistry, so he got kicked out. And now Spencer's struggling with sleep after the dollhouse, which makes sense. And Vivi was like, sorry, babe, you cannot have your pills. Good luck, babe. Good luck, babe. And Spencer roots through Aria's trash to get pills. And when that doesn't work, she decides to just buy edibles from the new pastry chef at the Brew. So she's going to try to sleep with some pot or just get through the day, it seems. She does not remember everything she did in the dollhouse. And she's freaking out because she keeps having these like flashbacks that are horrific of her like waking up covered in blood and screaming and not knowing what she did. And she was so sleep deprived. She literally has no memory. So it's really, really fucking with her. Aria is, shocker, getting into photography again, just needs to feel something, and she's taking lots of pics of dolls. She also rents time at the Hollis Photo Lab, and when she's there, like, developing her little creepy doll pics, A pays her a visit, locks her in, and that's when we meet Clark, who is also a photographer, and he ends up saving her, and yeah. As far as Allie goes, Kendi told the De Laurentiis Devils that Charles was their brother, actually, but he was very troubled, and they sent him to Radley, and he was there for the rest of his life and killed himself at 16. And they're like, yeah, freaking right. But then they go to Aunt Carol's house, and they find a gravestone there where Charles is allegedly buried. So now we believe in this, and Allie's going to make a really big deal about this brother that she never knew, and she is going to make you all feel bad about it. But they're kind of wondering, maybe is Charles still alive? Because otherwise Spencer's dream wouldn't make sense, and that's not really an option. Emily is having a lot of fun taking care of Shower Harvey like she's a baby bird, because Shower cannot go home to her horrific mother. And apparently part of this taking care of somebody shtick Emily loves is letting them cut all their hair off, which surely will make the homecoming a lot easier. Other things to remember. Remember that girl who we were like, she looks like Syndrome mixed with Sydney Sweeney. Syndrome from The Incredibles, that is. Leslie Stone's the name, and she was Mona's like childhood best friend who testified against the liars about Mona's death and really just rubbed everybody the wrong way, if I can be honest. I never had a good feeling about her, and I think I'm going to be vindicated. So with that, let's get into season 6, episode 5.
Could you believe how we started?
Phoebe, I was like, how did Phoebe not text me about this? How did Phoebe not text me, like, to warn me about what my wondering eyes would see? When what's my wondering eyes that appear about Maddie Ziegler? Why did I have to see the chandelier music video situated within Radley Sanitarium?
And I can't believe you haven't seen anything about this.
So as I saw Maddie Ziegler's face and I was like, could that be... I had a moment of being like, okay, wait, I do think I remember somebody, like, in some Pretty Little Liars page on Reddit, probably, I have, like, seen mention of this, but I did not guess it was going to be this, and I still kind of feel like I made it up, so you're confirming it did happen. Okay. Maddie Ziegler did do that whole thing.
This isn't an example, but I do think Maddie Ziegler's a good little actress.
She's a great little actress. And I think
did you watch that movie she was in with Jenna Ortega?
No, but I wanted to. Maybe we can watch it. She was really good.
It's on Max. She's really good in that. She's a really small character in that new Aubrey Plaza movie, but she's good in that too. I think she's great.
She needs to like low-key cut ties with Sia more. Like, she needs to establish herself as somebody.
I think she has.
No, I mean, I know, but I mean, she needs to establish herself as somebody post Sia, because so much of her career was like rooted in, oh, she's the Sia girl, and then she did that movie
and Dance Moms. Like, she's well, just yes, like,
and that's really how I realized it was Maddie Ziegler, because I was like, oh, this girl's so grimy and dirty, I don't recognize her. And then I was like,
oh, she's from Pittsburgh,
we're in PA, she must have escaped from the Abbey Lee Dance Company cellar, and now she's here at Radley. Said this makes total sense. Okay, now this makes total freaking sense. Spencer, like, why are they trying to make us believe that Spencer is psychic?
And also, why are they trying to make us believe that Spencer has experiences with these drugs that a lot of people do that no one else has? Weed's not a hallucinogenic, and
okay, so that's
also
where they're going,
Adderall,
with this, that this is like...
Well, no, my idea is, like, weed gave her such vivid dreams. Like, that's what I was thinking this was a reaction to. And then also... when she was on Adderall, yeah, she was like having
these
a weird reaction to it that not a lot of people.
And like Adderall's
have.
Whole thing is like, you don't sleep. So then it's like,
exactly,
why are you sleepwalking? I guess maybe that's why. I don't know. You know what? We're not experts, but neither is Spencer, apparently. Spencer is in this cold, dark, dank cellar with Maddie Ziegler, and there are haunted house noises playing, and she's just walking around, and
Caroline basically probably dozed off during this scene. This is like her dream.
This is my sleep sounds, really.
Sleep sounds.
I love when people tag me on TikTok, and they're like, Caroline, and it's somebody being like, God damn it, I have to listen to these haunted house noises because my kid relaxes when I play them, or something in the car. Yeah, apparently.
Wait,
it's not
so
just me.
Funny.
Just kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding. Those videos exist, but anyway, I like thought I was maybe turned on the wrong show. I was like, am I watching The Ring? Maddie Ziegler's like in the corner in this fucking like raggedy old dress with her hair all grody. And she's literally just doing the chandelier music video basically for like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm.
And Spencer's watching this and going back and forth between the blood and everything.
Yeah,
and
then Spencer goes, who are you?
Who
and
are
I wanted
you?
Her to go, I'm Maddie Ziegler.
Bring
you, I'm Maddie. It's me, Maddie.
Imagine them reading the Imagine them reading the script for this and they're like Maddie Ziegler. Imagine doing a lyrical performance. And
literally Marlene's like waiting for everyone. They're at the reader. She's like waiting for everyone's reaction. She's like, and mic drop. Maddie Ziegler.
And mic drop.
And everyone's like, is that, sorry, Maddie Ziegler? They like don't know who that is because she's at that point 11
There's
years
a old. Part of the dance, I think, where Maddie Ziegler's like on the bathtub and it looks like she's like going through labor, and then she like runs across the room like a spider. Like she's like,
well, also what was the bathtub thing? She like, so the bathtubs were covered with like a sheet, but you could still tell that they were bathtubs. And so she like is standing on the edge of one and she goes to take a step forward and Spencer like gasps. She's like, as if Maddie, first of all, Maddie is on a cliff. Like if she were to just fall down in the bathtub, it's like less than a 2 foot drop, Spence. And this girl is obviously not alive, so like who cares? But also turns out she's supernatural. She can walk on water, air. She's, oh my God, Maddie Ziegler is walking on air.
Spencer. She probably was after getting to be on PLL.
Probably. She probably loved this show. And she was like, okay, a meeting with my agent and my wish list, my dream wish list. Okay, call me crazy. Oh, I'd love a cameo on Pretty Little Liars. They're like, oh, they've been begging, actually. Yeah, we have the perfect idea.
So Maddie runs away, and then Spencer sees a pair of slippers that have Charles De Laurentiis's name on them. Well, it says C. De Laurentiis. And then there's a shadow, and Spencer wakes up. And then we're on the phone with Aria and Spencer's.
Oh, my God.
Spencer basically, I bet you the suspenser started the call. I saw A.
Yeah, probably.
Instead of saying, I had a dream, I saw A, and also I didn't see a face. But that's my favorite thing that Aria does. She says, she's like explaining this dream, and Aria goes, well, did you see A's face? Would it matter? Would it actually matter?
Well, does it matter later, Aria? Does it matter when you don't see? And I can't wait to talk about that, by the way.
To be fair, it was real.
I know, but still, like, I mean, it doesn't, like, for her to ask that question, and no one asked Aria that question. When she said she saw A and she was so sure. And also, I'm sorry, Aria, not to jump ahead, but like you're in a junkyard. Someone in a black hoodie is like not crazy. Like they might work there. No. I don't know. Anyway, but Spencer's like talking to Aria about it. And it's so funny because Aria's like, okay, well, who's the little girl? And Spencer's like, no clue. And Aria's like, okay, then like this is kind of bullshit. And then Aria's done. And she just starts interrupting everything Spencer says. And then Spencer yells, Aria, please just help me. And I'm like, that is the realest thing that Spencer's ever said.
And also we find out that Spencer fell off the bed during this dream.
And that's how she woke up and like didn't see A's face.
Because Aria's like, did you see A's face? And she's like, no, that's when I fell off the bed.
Aria's like, oh, okay, anyway. She's like, remind me to text Vivi and say you should strap her down.
And then Spencer starts eating a cookie. The cookie's from Sabrina. And Aria goes, what are you eating?
Oh, my God. It's like, and the crunching noises they have are so crazy. They're like, how, how, how? It sounds like one of my dogs, like, eating their food. The way that they did this to make it, like, so obvious that Aria would have to ask. And Spencer's like, Spencer is acting crazy, and I didn't realize. I totally forgot about the edibles for a second. And
I am like, Aria, you're right. Aria says, Spencer, giving me cramps.
Yeah, which is funny. Then Spencer goes, oh, my mom's still sitting on my chest. And we see there's like a, there's a post-it note from Vivi on the coffee that says so-and-so needs an answer. Basically, Spencer was offered valedictorian. And she's like, it's a freaking pity offer. I don't even want it. And Aria's like, well, you just fucking do it. This is so stupid. Like, and Spencer is obviously annoyed that Byron like told Aria she never has to go to school ever again. And we leave the scene with I literally wish I could have been a fly on the wall for the writer's room this episode because it's so good. Spencer goes, okay, my mom just got back from Curves and I do not want to have this argument with her after she just pumped iron. Do you remember Curves?
Well, yeah, I never knew what it was.
I didn't either, but I was now dying. I know what it is. Yeah, I think it's like a Weight Watchers kind of thing, but you like work out
there. Always pictured that that little ballet store that we used to go to for you to get jazz shoes and stuff.
Tutu.
That's what I always pictured inside of there, but that I knew that's
there
not
is
what
one
was
though
actually in there
in Carnegie or in Bridgeville. Like when
that's
you're going,
the one that I mean. That's what I I pictured Tutu in that building that says Curves on it.
I see. So and then we get Mona's return to Rosewood, and what a return it was. So she's dressed as Jenna.
Iconic.
Dressed as Jenna, sitting in Hannah's kitchen. All those nights we've come home, Hannah's come home to Ashley Marin, like sitting in a dark kitchen with a glass of wine. That's what Mona's doing in a house that's not her own.
And it's 7 a.m.
And it's 7 a.m. She's got these huge cat eye sunglasses covering half her face. She's in all black. She's like, I got back last night. And
she may as well have a floppy black hat on.
Which
too,
she does
like
later.
Like Georgina.
She does later. Yes. And she looks great though. She looks fierce. And she's really freaked out about the cops that are outside. And Hannah's like, no, they're here to protect us. It's like, oh, Hannah.
Mona's but, like, they're here to protect you.
Yeah. Mona's
you
terrified.
You pretend to be dead when you weren't.
And Hannah's like, okay, that's not a crime. That's just stupid. And Mona goes, okay, it's literally a crime. It's literally, she says what we've all been saying, which is like, think of the resources you're wasting. But mm-hmm. Mona is terrified of Allison. She's like, she has to be plotting revenge like I would be.
The way that she's talking is so fucking funny. She's
it is
like,
so funny.
She won't look at Hannah. She's like, she's like nursing a little mug of tea basically in her hands, yes. Looking down at it. And she's like, I wish we'd never come back here. Like acting like she is, suddenly we're in like Days of Our Lives.
Yes.
And not Pretty Little Liars.
It's the melodrama of Mona, and it is everything. I love it so much. And Hannah's like, okay, listen, the cops aren't going to care about this. Like, they are focused on finding A. A is still out there. They know you're not the bad guy. They know Allie's not the bad guy. Like, that's what we're trying to do here. And what we need to do is track down anyone who had contact with Charles De Laurentiis. And she's like, you don't need to be scared here. Like, Allie is so embarrassed. She only leaves her house to go to church. And Mona is so...
And Mona can't believe that.
Mona's like, I'm the first time she like shows any kind of like emotion or realness. She's like, I'm sorry, Allie goes to church. It's awesome. But Hannah is Little Miss Loyal this whole episode to all her friends,
mm-hmm.
including Allie.
She's defensive
moment.
Of Allie.
Yeah.
But she said that Mona asked Hannah to take her to the precinct. So they go to the brew. But
so instead of going to the precinct, Allie is, okay, this is crazy. Allie is depressed on the couch laying there, and here's the fucking cops outside the window talking about her, and they say, that little skank, who's protecting us from her? And in that moment, I said, Allie D, you come stand behind
Go
me.
Go out there.
I said, you come stand behind me. I'm going to take care of this one, I think. Because previously I was like, when am I going to be on board with Allie? Oh, right now, I guess. This made me feel the way it feels in The Simple Life when they're so mean to Nicole and Paris.
I knew you were going to compare it to that.
Because it's the same. I hate it.
I also, let me see where the cops are. And I'm like, okay, Allie has supersonic hearing because they are fully, yeah. The car is like by Spencer's house.
Well,
that's how
also,
far away
like,
they are.
Men don't think women can hear. Like, men don't think they sound loud. They're always like yelling. They probably didn't even think about it. But I was wondering like, what if, cause she goes to the window to see who it is. Like, just, and I'm like, is she like hoping it's not Lorenzo? Oh,
and it's not, and I am like, even though Lorenzo's fully an adult man, there's something about Allie having a crush on him,
yeah.
That is like
it's sweet and wholesome until it isn't.
Yeah And sometimes you just have to suspend your disbelief.
Well, if that ain't the fucking theme of this show.
So we go to the Fields house, and Sarah's on the phone with her mom, and she's like, I can't talk to you when you're like this.
You're slurring your words.
Swift was it? And I can't talk to you when you're like this.
Like I was a favorite town. I'm New York City. I still do it for you, babe. And then we all want me about times like this. When it gets rough, don't get hard and around. You get us a blind faith. Blind faith. We might.
Like anybody that says every Taylor Swift song sounds the same is crazy.
I'm sorry, this song's
so good.
She's
fully playing a character. That's what's her name from Broad City.
Then if it's a false.
What's her name from Broad City?
Wait,
her alter ego.
What were you saying?
That's Val.
Val.
That song is Val.
Oh, that's Taylor's Val. Taylor's Val is mm-hmm. Big Al. All right.
So. Sarah's mom wants her back, and Emily's like,
I do not think so. Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ. Emily is like, what? So she can make money off what happened to you? Like Emily,
and the way she brings up emancipation is like, this is an after-school special. Because she goes, have you ever heard about being legally emancipated?
Yeah, she's like, you could stop dealing with her altogether. Have you ever thought about being legally emancipated? And Shower's like, what the hell is that? So, okay, we're back at the photo lab. And Aria is there. And what is his name again?
We're actually in Byron's office.
Oh,
and apparently Aria told Clark that she'd be there, and he
what is her problem? No, I'm sorry, she's so annoying though, because he walks in and she's like, how did you know where I'd be? And he's like, you told me. You literally told me. And she's like, oh, okay. I have a lot of conversations with men, so I didn't remember.
And I'll talk about that later.
She's so annoying in this episode.
But she, and also, I just, it's so classic that she's that kid. She's out of the four, she's the one not going to school, and her dad's just letting her like sit in her office and like write poems.
Yeah.
Like that's what she's doing. Yeah. And it's so annoying to me. And so
she's like, it's not like I'm not doing academic things. Like, I'm honestly probably working harder than you guys.
Exactly. And so she definitely went to a Montessori.
Yeah, she's like, I'm just working off my own syllabus. Like, it's fine. It's probably more advanced than whatever you're working on in class.
Clark is like, do you want to go to this junkyard with me?
She's like, no.
And then she finds out that there's actually something in it for her. Because he says, are you working on the contest? And she goes, contest? What contest?
And he's like, yeah, there's a cash prize and there's a summer internship in LA. And she wants to apply. I'm like, you know, she's like, oh, I don't care about the money, but getting away, big city, that I could do.
And he says something that is so, it's also music to Aria's ears. Yeah. And believe it or not, there is stuff to photograph in LA. It's not Rosewood.
There's some stuff out there. Anyway, so then she's like, okay, fine. Can we go by my house first? So then we have Allie drinking tea outside, and Ken says, why are you out here? He's like, he doesn't want her to be seen in the light of day if it kills him.
This is the funniest way that Allie could have told Ken about the cop thing. Because she goes, I just heard Rosewood's finest dissing me to another cop.
And literally Ken says what we all say. He's like, well, yeah, Allie. He's like, what do you expect?
Bad behavior as a way of catching up with you.
She's like, you would know. You would know. He's like, you need to own it. And she goes, well, it's kind of hard to let it go when someone kicks you in the teeth before you've even brushed them. In her little voice.
It's arguably not little.
Every time I growl, I try to get a little bit lower, but like you still can't get the growl out. Like it's hard.
No, and she does it so naturally.
So naturally.
We go to the brew with Mona, and we're getting these hysterical angles.
For some reason, the
people who were directing this scene with Mona and Hannah don't direct any of the other stuff this episode.
They're truly trying something new.
We're getting, it's honestly giving original sin. Like, we got those like weird angles because we are like basically in the pastry like window of the brew looking up at Mona and Hannah while they're waiting in line.
Yes.
And you can see that Mona's like got shifty eyes.
You can see like the beads of sweat going down Mona's forehead. Like, she's so stressed out.
And Hannah, like, she truly thinks that she is in the noir episode again.
I know she does.
Hannah goes, do you want a latte? And she goes, I don't care. Just order.
No. And then we realize, she's being so weird. Leslie Storm?
Which can you believe? Her name?
Leslie Stone.
Leslie something. Stone.
Leslie Stone. Ugh.
Leslie isn't spelled with an E.
Oh, I know.
It doesn't, I mean, I saw that in the synopsis for...
And we're back. Vintage PLP right there. Synopsis.
For next episode.
Synopsis just got renewed for another season, by the way. I'm so happy.
And it's actually, we put a GoPro on our dog, Sid. I add a D to everything. The show Synopsis is just us putting a GoPro... Oh, my God. It's just us putting a GoPro on Sid's head. Like, you know that picture of him where he's wearing the little goldfish hat and he's got the pipe cleaner coming out of his head?
Yes, and then it's just his whole day. We just watch his whole day through the GoPro.
We see what he's up to. And we're like, wait, Sid, There are tunnels in our house.
We see like something happens. Places? Sid starts like putting his like paws over the camera. And we're like, what is he doing? What is he doing? He's like, whatever. And then you see it, it goes black. And then we just get his face. And he's holding it in front of his face. He's like, don't come with me. And puts it down.
We just hear his paws.
We're just like, what the fuck?
And he comes back with an olive.
He's like, I don't want you to know where I had this, okay? I need to have some secrets. Anyway. So Leslie and Hannah are color coordinated, which is insane. They're both wearing pastel yellow. That's what's more insane.
The color coordination, it's like they're not just in black. They're in a unique color, literally
yellow, silver, white, and black. And I did write down Leslie's entire quote because it is
I actually perfect. Knew you were going to.
So you didn't.
Because
good.
This entire scene. No, I wrote a little bit down, but I knew that I was like, Caroline's going to write this down beat for beat because line after line after line.
Of just was pure so gold. Of pure gold. I literally paused, rewound, wrote again.
It was giving the paragraph that Vanity Fair wrote about Chapel.
Yes, it was. And sometimes like, it's like, okay, the written word really is beautiful. Okay, Aria, I'm kind of getting you. So here's what Leslie said. Leslie's pissed because she was summoned by the police back to Rosewood because she is now considered an accomplice to a crime. And Mona goes, you didn't make any mistakes. You didn't do anything wrong. And Leslie Stone says, yes, I did. I made the mistake of complimenting a stranger on her Dolce & Gabbana stretch pants. And now everything that I have worked for, my fellowship, my teaching position, my reputation, they're all in jeopardy because I actually saw you as the victim. You conniving little bitch! And then Hannah goes, get a grip, Leslie.
And then is that where she said, wait, did you already say the part? Sorry, I was looking at something on my phone.
I didn't
get
through
the
vote.
Did you say the part? Because Hannah, she says the thing about how she perjured.
Do you think I wanted perjury on my resume?
And Hannah says, I don't know what that means, but I don't like your tone.
It's giving, well, I don't know what I've done to you, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio. It's the exact same delivery as Stassi and Vanderpump. I know. And then Leslie goes, I don't give a crap what you like, you bag of hair. And I said, Hannah's hair is the shortest it's ever been, girl. What?
And then Leslie leaves, and then
Mona's like, please stop it.
Mom and Dad, stop fighting. We get this, this is where we get another crazy angle of Mona and Hannah, of them like watching Leslie leave. And again, for some reason, it's like an elementary schooler is filming this scene and angled up. And it's like them like with their arms crossed, like looking like. It's a little bit too long for the angle to make sense. You know what I mean? Like for all of, anyway. So then we go to the high school and this episode is pure comedy.
It's pure comedy. Hannah is like venting about Leslie to Spencer as they're walking and Spencer's like texting.
Spencer is sexting
and
Toby.
And Hannah's like, am I wrong? Okay, unless you're texting me the answer, you're rude.
That's very Kelly-coded.
Yes, unless you're texting me the answer, you're rude. And then Spencer says, okay, fine. Toby's just like, not texting me back. And like, it's like, been a long time. And then like, her ringtone starts and it's Ride by Lana Del Rey. And Hannah's like, oh my God, I'll leave you to it. Like, they're literally sexting and that's why she can't answer Hannah. I'm like, okay. And Spencer's like, these animals like, are the shit.
Hannah says, oh, all right, well, your cup may runneth over, but mine is bone dry.
and then Spencer's like a little too interested.
And then Spencer says, wait, is Caleb available? Are you guys okay?
I mean, are you single? I mean, what's going on?
Are you guys okay?
It's very concerning.
And then I'm confused because Hannah doesn't say we're on a break.
Well, I don't think she thinks they are.
I'm like, Hannah, I watched that scene. That was a breakup.
But I feel like, no, I didn't feel like it was a breakup. I only felt like it was a breakup because I know that it like is one. But if I'm Caleb and Hannah, there are more conversations to be had before we're on a break. Like, it's not cool for one of you to go kiss someone else. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, you're not.
Maybe under Hannah's rules, Spencer's rules.
Well, okay, it's fair. Hannah has a higher moral compass, I'd say. So anyway, Spencer's like, listen. Hannah goes, Leslie needs to forgive Mona because we need Mona strong and brave so that she can help us figure out stuff about Charles. Spencer's eating her fucking cookie and Hannah tries to take some. Spencer slaps her hand away and says, not your cookie. And then Hannah goes, you're gumming at your dessert like you're my grandma. Are you buzzed? Because Spencer's literally taking the cookie and like pressing. I'm sorry. Are we doing cocaine? Like, what is going on? And then Hannah goes, you have the same look as this girl in my geology class who hums and makes chokers out of paper clips. Hannah's like, well, I just really miss Toby. And then Hannah says, well, Dr. Oz says sex is a drug too, Spencer. Maybe you should figure that one out. Whore.
Skate, he's slutting it up.
Spencer, whore Hastings.
Oh, it's probably just Spencer slutting it
he's
up.
Slutting
if
it
you're
up.
Aria's mom.
So funny.
All right, so we go to the fucking junkyard, and Clark asks a question that makes sense, and Aria may as well slap the camera out of his hands because
he's
like, "So are dolls your thing?" And she goes, "No."
He's like, "Aria, yeah, they are."
Every picture I've seen you take has been of a doll. You actually had like a dream of your room at one point of a doll in your room, and I was like, is that going to be a clue? Are you a psychic like Spencer?
Like,
and no, it was just that you wanted to take a picture of it later.
Whether you like it or not, dolls are like your whole thing. You were just in
the
doll
like
the house.
Hat.
You might as well
like
go with Emily and shower later on and get a tattoo of a doll head. In fact, if Aria doesn't already have one, I'm shocked. She's like, it's therapeutic. Putting the pain somewhere I can see it. Anyway, so she says, I actually think they're creepy, but I'm doing this new thing. I'm... trying to embrace the creepy.
That's not new.
Yeah,
that's your whole thing.
That's like, what about the doll heads you had on earrings?
And then, I didn't know Aria was an influencer because a very private influencer because Clark goes to take a picture of her because the shadow falls just right on her face apparently, and she goes, "What are you doing?"
She literally gets so much. She's like,
"Delete that."
Literally, she's giving Blake a simple favor. Delete that.
Literally.
I mean, it is so funny. And then she gives him this whole sob story. He's like, okay, well, I mean, if we're leaning into things that scare us, like, can we go to dinner? And she's like, that's a really nice offer, but I can't. I'm not dating for a while. And then she just, like, tells him way too much. And he's like, yeah, I mean, you don't have to tell. I saw you on the news. I thought she was going to set herself on fire in that moment. But she actually kind of handled it well. And he was like, I'm sorry. I didn't want to bring it up. And she's like, you don't have to be sorry.
Yeah.
So I actually
was honestly,
shocked by
it
that.
It turned into a good moment.
Yeah. Phoebe, is there anything worse than the week before your period? The sleeplessness, breakouts, the cravings, and the blah, blah, blah. PMS is the worst. Luckily, now it's easier to manage with Estro Control.
Estro Control is a formula developed by Happy Mammoth, and the way it eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, which is where our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. When that estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, women may start having PMS, blemishes, cravings, you know the drill.
Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves all throughout the month. PMS isn't robbing me of a week of my life every month anymore. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout.
Again, that's happymammoth.com. And use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then we go to Allie talking to Lorenzo. They're like in the De Laurentiis dungeon looking at this binder. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I remembered he's trying to convince her to coach a girls' soccer team, which is.
Or something.
The strangest
thing in the world.
Because what's
in the
binder is like. But it's like, it sounds like Girl Scouts. It's really seeming like it's, maybe she needs to be like a jack of all trades for this. And he's like, I already went in and like no one gave any pushback about you. And Allie, self-aware queen, is like, yeah, fucking right. And he's kind of like, okay, but whatever. I really think you can make a difference. And that honestly probably is true. Like if Allie really did put her mind to it, I believe, like I don't think she's born to work with kids, but if she could, I do believe she could actually make a difference because she's a very interesting
story. She's learned
from
her mistakes.
A lot of people could learn from her. She's also going to be very good at like sussing out the social shit that's going down might help her make
totally.
Like a better team, you know? So I honestly do
and
think.
And I think she would like now that she's older, she would have a soft spot for people that have the, like, the personalities of her friends.
Yeah.
She'd be able to figure out who was going to take advantage
she'd
of them.
She'd be like, be nice to everyone. You never fucking know.
Yeah.
And ain't that the truth?
So Ken comes in and kicks Lorenzo out and then accuses Allie of faking the complaint. She actually does. He does this in front of Lorenzo.
Yeah. How mortifying.
Accuses Allie of faking the complaint to get the younger cop on her beat.
Did you want them to replace the cop with someone closer to your age? And I like how he can't say, like, someone your age, because even so. So, and it's like, so we're acknowledging that this guy, like, isn't Allie's age. He's just a little bit closer, which I also, like, barely believe, because he looks like he's a full 10, 20 years older than her, but okay. Anyway.
So then we go to Caleb's apartment, and Sarah is getting help from him.
This is where I'm like, Emily.
Getting emancipated.
Emily is driving me a little bit nutty right now with this whole thing. Because Caleb's like, okay, so like, here's the thing. You cannot become emancipated unless you have a job or a high school diploma, because otherwise, how will you survive? Like, that's all it is. They just don't know that you have the means to survive. And Emily's like, well, if you did it, anyone can. It's like, how and dare you?
Caleb's a genius.
Put some respect on my man's name.
Caleb makes a great point. He's like, I know it sucks, but realistically, you only have a couple more months so you turn 18, like, and then
Emily's
you're a legal adult. So just...
You're ruining everything, Caleb. Emily's, like, so mad. And
Caleb's like, okay, fine. Put me down as a job reference. And Emily's like, you'd lie for her? And he goes, it's not a lie.
Minimum wage. Yeah, so shower is going to work in graphic design for Caleb Rivers. And I'm like, good for you, Caleb. You're able to put someone on your team. You're able to pay someone. Good for you. Aria is now getting spooked in the junkyard because she's like looking around and shit's getting pushed over. And again,
and
like,
she sees
a hooded figure. And here's the thing. I understand, and especially given the circumstances, I would be a little bit jumpy too. But again, like, you are in a junkyard. There are like creepy clown heads and dolls around. This is like,
it's a really organized junkyard.
It's honestly giving antique thrift shop, which, by the way, I feel like we should go to Randyland when my friends are here and do some pics.
I haven't been there.
You've never been to Randyland? My God.
Never made it to Randyland. I actually just went to the Mattress Factory for the first time recently with Lily.
Well, let's.
And I realized I'm scared of the dark when I was there. I got so because there's like one floor where you walk in, you go into they're like kind of lighting installations.
Oh, yeah.
But they need it to be completely dark in the halls so it works. And when you walk into the room, you can't see the light at the end of the doorway, like going into the room. And I was like, Lily, you go in. I can't do it. I cannot walk down this hallway. I was so scared.
Well, Phoebe, I'm so glad I know this about you now, because I'm going to try to submerge you in darkness at every chance I get.
Jeez. So we go to an AA meeting.
Did you guys
meeting.
Hear that? That was so funny.
We go to an AA meeting. Aria follows the hooded figure into the barn, and this shelf falls, and she, like, freaks out. But then we go to this, or I guess it's maybe a Narcotics Anonymous meeting.
Yeah.
It's some kind of support group like
addiction
that.
Addiction support group,
with
yeah.
Addiction.
She's got the munchies. I'm like, brave of you to show up at the addiction support group late, make a scene, and immediately have the munchies, as if none of the people in here are going to clock what's going on. So people are like talking. I mean, she's in there for 30 seconds. And then they ask Dean, who is, oh my God, her hot sober coach, to start talking. And when she realizes he's there, she's like, oh, got a jet. Like, I can't.
But she has to take another pastry before she leaves.
And then the guy.
And the guy in the front.
Would you not just disintegrate? Like, I would actually evaporate into 1 million pieces. The guy goes,
I mean,
the snacks are for
some kind of show.
I'd have to fall to the ground. I'd have to fall to the ground and be like, I'm sorry. I thought I was going to pass out.
Sorry, I was going to faint.
Sorry, I just escaped. That's what I would say. I'm sorry, I just escaped. And they'd be like, from what? And I'd be like, the horrors are too terrible to speak of. But. You can tell I just escaped, right? just be really vague and just say you just escaped. No, they'll be like scratching their heads for days.
Yeah. We go to the dark room at Hollis, and Aria is like taking some of the negatives of Clark's picture.
But I thought they were hers. I was like, okay, being a little grabby, touching these like with your little grubby fingers, Aria, aren't you supposed to be very careful? Yeah, because they're still wet. And he's like, stop. Like, can you please be careful? He even asks her to be careful. And then she's trying to look for, like, the photo that might feature the hooded figure. And she thinks Clark got a photo. So then she calls Emily to tell her that. And she's like, should I just tell Clark what's happening?
She literally goes, I was at the junkyard with that guy. that guy that I met that... I think there's something here, but it doesn't matter right now.
That guy that I met, I mean, he's definitely into me, but that's usually how it goes, isn't it? And Emily's like, the point? Or he's like, you know, Emily, you know how I have, like, that, like, magnetic effect on men? And, like, everywhere I go, they're just like, Aria, your name is most beautiful. Like, you know what I'm talking about, Emily? And Emily's like, yeah. And she's like, okay.
She's like, look, I'm trying to get Sarah emancipated right now. Can you please leave me alone?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So Emily's like, you cannot tell Clark what's going on. So then Aria ends up just, like, stalling. And because Emily's like, well, just take them. Just steal them. So she steals Clark's negatives. And I just know exactly what's going to happen here is he's going to think she stole them to submit them under her name for the contest. And I just love that, like, that's where this is going to end up. It's kind of hilarious. But, okay.
Hannah. So here's Brew, and Hannah's trying to meet Leslie. And Leslie shows up. And
she's in her Meredith Marks era. Hannah's like... How long are you going to keep me waiting, Leslie?
That was good.
Was it? Thanks. Leslie does show up, and she actually apologizes for what she did and said this morning, which, like, good, you should, and you should apologize to Mona, too. But she's not going to do that. And she says to Hannah, clearly you got more screwed over by Mona than I did. And if you found a way to forgive her. And Hannah's just like, yes, I'm telling you, like, Mona is not the monster here. They haven't caught the monster yet. And Leslie says, I wonder if Radley helped or hurt Mona. And Hannah's like, well, I think Radley has the answers. Like, I need to go there. And that's where Leslie's like, I don't think so. Stop playing cops. No. Like, do not dig into this. Which is a little bit interesting. I didn't raise my eyebrows at it in that moment. But now talking about it, I really should have.
Right. Then we go back to, oh, we already, Aria steals Clark's pictures. So we go out, so we're at the gate of the Hastings castle, and Dean is taking Spencer home, and he won't come in because the last time he was there, Vivi was throwing his clothes out the window.
She had just pumped some iron and her arm was ready to go, and she hurled it and he never found it. It went so, she threw it so far, he literally never found it. Also, Phoebe, the name Dean is like a bad boy name. It always is. Just think about Dean and Wizards of Waverly Place. Wasn't he like the bad boy kind of?
I don't know. Think about Dean and Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. He's a dick.
No, he's like the boy next door at first.
Yeah, but he's a piece of shit. Do you not agree with that?
I liked Dean a lot in the beginning. I know that he sucks.
Yeah,
in the
beginning. But then, like, you have to evaluate somebody for who they really are, for whole picture.
I know, but he's not like the bad. Like, Jess is the bad boy.
Yeah, I know. But the name Dean, I think, historically, is like a bad boy name.
What about Dean Thomas in Harry Potter?
Okay, well, Harry Potter doesn't really have bad boys, except for Draco Malfoy.
Draco Malfoy, Voldemort.
Oh, my God, Phoebe. Guys, can you? Severus Snape. Those aren't. Okay, I would not describe
Sirius
Voldemort.
Black.
Listen to me. I would not. What? I do not describe Severus Snape or Voldemort as bad boys, because that implies a level of hotness that I'm just not seeing. Okay, if you're going to be a bad boy, you better be hot. H-O-T. First rule of being a bad boy is that you are H-O-T. Anyway.
So, they're basically just talking about how, like, you can't rationalize, Spencer. You're in or you're out. You're stronger than you think. And I gave you something a long time ago that you never used. My number.
Okay, bitch. Okay. Again, how old can we get an age check?
And then Spencer hands a fellow addict a bag of weed cookies.
Yeah. And she's like, enjoy.
Throw these out for me.
Yeah. Luckily, I do trust that he's going to, but that was the first thing I thought. And he goes, you're the first girl to toss her cookies in my car. Hey, let's just not. Ew. Let's just not. So then Spencer
gets out and sees Mona is leaving a letter at Allie's.
Which is creepy and weird. And I'm like, where are the cops now? Because surely if the cops did see Mona approaching Allison DeLaurentis' mailbox, they'd have like a question or two. So right. Mona sees Spencer, and I'm kind of loving, we get a little Spona moment, a little Spona reconciliation. Mona's like, you look great. And they're talking, and it just seems like maybe we're going to mend fences a little bit to join forces. And Spencer asks Mona,
if she's like, Mona, you were in there longer than us by like, what, a week? And they're like, Spencer says, did you ever see like an 11-year-old girl down there? And did you ever see a room that was tiled with drains on the floor with bathtubs?
Yeah, those are the only descriptors she gives. And Mona's like, I don't fucking know. Like, no, not in the dollhouse. And also, I'm like, the first time I saw this in the very beginning of the episode, I was like, okay, Radley. I don't know how Spencer, who also spent time in Radley, mm-hmm. and frankly spent remembers a lot more of it. Like, you don't remember fucking anything from the dollhouse, but you think this room was there. Like, it's just weird. But anyway.
And then when the scene ends, we get like a sus look from Mona. Like, Mona's like, because Mona's like
very,
Spencer,
it's
like,
kind of a sweet moment where Mona's like very gentle. And she's like, it must live in your head, Spence. Like, and it's kind of like this moment where it's like, look, I understand. Whatever. But then, yeah, as Phoebe said, we see Mona's face kind of change. But I didn't really know what I was insinuating until later. So Emily then meets Shower outside of the PA, Child Services, and Shower got it all. It's all under control. She's going to stay with Emily in the meantime. And Emily's like, all right, it's time to freaking celebrate. And Shower's like, okay, let's make it permanent. Across the street, tattoo, please. Girl, what? Pam Fields is going to skin you both alive. Like, this is not the move, but okay. So, of course.
This is another comedy hour.
It's a comedy hour, and it's also one of those moments where I'm like, and of course Hannah's the one who's doing this. And of course Hannah's the one who's roped into this.
They're in the basement of Radley.
Hannah and Spencer.
Mona was supposed to come. Yes, and Mona was supposed to come. And then Hannah says Mona's attached to her mom at the hip. No, she's not. I've only seen her alone this episode.
She goes, they like shower together. I'm like, no. Like,
that doesn't seem to be the sense of things that's going on.
Also, can you believe Hannah's wearing white pants? I'm like, girl, it is dirty as heck in here. So Spencer sees a picture of Maddie Ziegler on the wall and she's like, I love Dance Moms. But she's a flash. What if she like had a flashback to the dream and Hannah's like, oh my God, it's Maddie Ziegler from Dance Moms. And Spencer, in this moment when they're already in the abandoned insane asylum, that's when she realizes she just watched too much Dance Moms and like her dreams became.
Exactly, she fell asleep watching
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Which, watching one of Maddie's solos. Watching Dance Moms?
No. My Southern Charm was in my dreams.
Oh, who were you dating?
I wasn't dating anybody. I was watching an episode. It was like POV, you're the camera. Watching an episode of Southern Charm that had never happened.
I was like, surely she's like on a date with Craig Conover. No, okay. Anyway.
No,
then they go into the room with the bathtubs and Spencer's like, this is the room for sure. Let's just kind of go through this. So they're going through all the files and they realize that like Radley has all these files from like years and years and years ago, but they don't have anything from 6 years ago until she finds it.
They walk in. They walk in at first though. And Hannah immediately starts looking through everything and like drops all this stuff. And Spencer goes, she's like dead in her tracks. She goes, I know this room. And Hannah goes, okay. Then why am I the only one doing anything?
Like, Hannah's had it. Hannah's ready for this to be over so she can get new friends. She's literally like, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. Like, please. So they find there's a work order for the courier that transported Charles's organs after he died. So they're like, he's definitely dead, but someone is pretending to be him. So now we need to figure out who that is, which is when Hannah accidentally dumps some files into the bathtub. And it seems, when what's our wondering eyes disappear, but a human head, a human knee.
The scariest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's a recessive Annie, I guess. You are sick in the head. Spencer goes to like get something to quote fish it out. I'm good on that. Like, I'm just counting those files as a lost cause.
Also,
okay?
Like, isn't still water incredibly? I know it's not still
germy
anymore,
and disgusting.
But like,
well, yeah.
Well, no, I think there's like brain-eating bacteria in still water.
Well, but it's like Spencer's gonna reach in there with something else when she figures out. Once she figures out it's not a dead body and it's what Phoebe? I guess is that a thing people know about? Resuscitanny.
Resuscitanny. That's what Spencer calls it. It's like a little CPR doll.
I know, but because it still makes sense for resuscitate. Annie, I thought it was a resuscitate.
Annie, are you okay? Is the song that you can do CPR to?
Okay, but it would make sense if it was also resuscitanny.
Yeah.
It's resuscitate.
Yeah.
But it's resusca Annie.
That's what I heard.
Hey, you hear things
I think
wrong
that's what,
a lot.
But like all those dolls are called Annie a lot of the time.
That's so
because
creepy.
Of the Michael Jackson song.
Well, then Spencer's like, fuck it, and reaches her hand in the water bare to get the files out of there. Spencer, Spencer, you need to turn down the valedictorian offer because you don't deserve it.
You're an idiot.
Because can you use your brain for once?
Give it to Hannah.
give it to Hannah Marin, please. Or better yet, give it to Mona Vanderwaal.
Guys, I'm going
to...
I'm going to give you three guesses as to what... Actually, you probably only need one guess as to what Sarah Harvey's getting tattooed. And, well, I'll give you two because your first guess is probably shower. I'm going to give you two guesses as to what Sarah Harvey's getting tattooed on her back in the dead center.
I mean, dead center, massive. Also, I'm pretty sure right on the in the middle of your back on your spine is a very painful place to get a tattoo. And she gets a massive, like, especially probably took a few hours. It's a bird flying out of a birdcage. And then she's like, okay, Emily, it's your turn. I saw you eyeing that mermaid with a harpoon. I can assure you, shower, she was not. Unless she was scared. Unless she was like, that's scary. Like, there's no way she wants it on her body.
Emily's like, you know what? Okay. She starts perusing. And for some reason, she feels called to one of the Japanese signs. And she's like, what's this one mean? And the girl's like, oh, that one means courage.
And Emily's like, wow, that's kind of perfect. And at first, and I thought she was going to have her put it in the dead center of her back. I was like, Emily, that will show in a Speedo.
Because Sarah goes, only if you get it in a place your mom will never see it. The way she says it, her voice is so fucking
annoying. I'm like, hey, shower. Pam is doing body checks every day. Like, there's not a place where Pam's not going to see it. That's where you're mistaken.
And Emily's like, oh, perfect idea. I'll just get it right here behind my ear.
Emily, what if you decided you did want to wear a swim cap again in your life? Or a ponytail?
And you wear your hair up a lot.
You famously love wearing a ponytail, Em. Oh, my God. You're going to get it where Ariana has her Dangerous Woman tattoo? I don't think so.
And she says, I don't think so. And she says that part of her neck is tender.
So let me just choose this spot.
The tattoo artist goes, well, it's not going to feel any better with a needle in it.
Yeah, then let's not do it there. So she decides to do it like, she goes, why don't we do it somewhere a little bit closer to the fine china? Meaning her private parts. So Emily's like, okay, sure. And she does it like on her pelvis, which also I know has to hurt.
Oh my God. So we go to Montgomery Mausoleum.
Okay, I have to say this. I just, Aria literally, I'm like, no way this is what's about to happen. Aria's looking at the picture, okay? What is his fucking name? I can't remember.
Clark.
I always want to say Caleb or Crave. Anyway, Clark sees.
Pop Crave.
Who? Clark took a photo and we see like the silhouette of A, and I'm looking at this and I'm like, she's got boobs, y'all. Like, that's what Aria's gonna send the girls. A's got boobs, y'all.
It's like the first time, like, all of A's non-fitted black hoodies were at the cleaners.
Yeah.
And she had to wear this one today, I guess.
She's wearing a push-up bra on this day. Yeah. And Aria sends it to the girl, and she's like, A's a girl. And it's funny, she never says anything about the boobs, so I'm like, how'd you know? Well, Hannah later says it. She goes, that's a bust.
The way that this text is structured and the way that Hannah structures a text later is so funny, because it's not how teenagers text.
No.
It's quote, A is a girl, ...
And you're right, the text from Hannah later where it's just a word and she capitalizes only the A in it. I'm like, okay, Marlene, and it's also we know it's you.
So we go to the dealer rentist dungeon, and Lorenzo is picking up the forms from Allie, and he starts shit-talking Ken. He's like,
she starts apologizing for him first. He doesn't, like, start that. He's respectful enough there. Allie's like, I'm just so embarrassed about my dad. Oh, my God. And that's where he's like, he's upset. He failed to protect his own family. And that's gotta hurt. But yes. Lorenzo, I know Lorenzo, he's too old, but he's making me like him with this shit. Because he gets a female officer for her.
He goes, I got that goon from earlier off your beat. And I got this girl named Lydia. She's really nice.
And, like, I just love that how did nobody think for a second that whatever female police officers we do have on staff should be maybe the ones
doing
that
this.
These girls are interacting with the most, or like whatever. Yeah, as if like they're not terrified.
And then Lorenzo immediately kisses Allie with tongue.
Oh my God, they fully have a makeout sesh on the porch. And I'm like, it's giving The Notebook when Allie and Noah are kissing on the porch, and like the parents like open the door. Like, can you imagine anything worse? Ken pulls up and Allie like lingers a little bit too long, like has her hand on his chest for like
Ken to see.
Literally. And then Lorenzo just leaves and she wordlessly walks into the house as Ken's like, wait, what? She is a skank. Okay, so
we go back to the tattoo parlor, And while Emily's getting her tattoo, Sarah reads the text from Aria on Emily's phone,
which is the picture of A's boobs.
And then they leave the the parlor, and Sarah goes, "I saw that text from your friend. I've seen her too. Aria? Following Aria? Me around."
She's so weird. And then there's like this big commotion as if they're in New York City. You know, they're across the street from the Pennsylvania Child Services office.
It's giving that scene when they were in New York where like all the A's come and like
attack them.
That's the vibe.
I was like, what's about to happen?
Then Sarah runs away. Classic.
But what she didn't think is that Emily's a freaking runner. She's a track star, and she catches up to Shower. She's like, look, we didn't tell you so we could protect you. And Shower's just so upset they kept this from her. And then they turn and there's like maybe a big shadow following them. Hannah, on the other hand, at Radley, is ready to leave. She's like, look, we have proof that he's dead. And Spencer's like, yeah, but I want his whole Hinge profile. Like, Spencer wants to know everything about it. Yeah.
I want to know who he hung out with. Like, and
just
Hannah's
take it.
Yeah. And no one's looking for it. Then earlier they heard like a crash. That's why Hannah wants to leave, because they don't know who's in there with them.
Which makes
and
sense.
Then, let's get out. Even if it is an animal, I don't want to be in here.
Yeah.
Anymore. And they're like walking. They're getting ready to leave. And then they hear something again. And then they open this door and they see that it's Mona. And Mona is holding a file. And at first I think it's Mona's file. And she's like, it's not. She's like, I just need to take care of this. I just need to take care of this.
Yeah, they think she's trying to like clear her own shit by taking her file. Yeah, but.
And then we realize
it's Leslie's
file.
And we learn that Leslie does not want this file to go public. She doesn't want anyone to know that she was here. And she was actually in Radley long enough to know both Mona and Charles, which is crazy. So Hannah texts Allie and says, get
which
over here
funny.
Now. Breakthrough, and the A in breakthrough is capitalized.
So funny. And something to note is earlier when they were talking to Mona, or when they were talking to Leslie, Mona and Hannah were, Leslie brings up the fact that they first bonded over like coach track suits.
Oh, I missed
that. Make a comment about like them commenting on each other's things like out in the real world. Like they have this story that's how they did not meet at Radley. But that's where they met.
Oh my God. Oh, no. Dolce & Gabbana stretch pants.
Yes, that's what it was.
So Allie's like, gotta go, Dad. And he's like, I don't really think so. Like, is Lorenzo going to be there? Because she's like, I have to go see Hannah. And then Ken, like, kind of threatens Allie. And Allie goes, what are you going to do, Dad? You going to bury me at Aunt Carol's, too? Shove me in the ground right next to Charles?
There's a little bit of Lisa Barlow in there when you do it.
It's because I got to get that guttural, you know, sound there.
Yeah.
So that's when Hannah, they're all looking at the picture and Hannah goes, that's a bust and it's Leslie Stone's. So they're pretty sure that A is now Leslie Stone. And we learn that she shared a room with Bethany Young, who I completely fucking forgot about. Like, Jesus Christ. And
which gives Leslie a motive
to
do everything that she did.
So am I correct in thinking this? This is what they're thinking. They believe that Leslie must think they helped Allie kill Bethany, or no, that Allie killed Bethany and then they helped dump Bethany's body. And then Leslie's hiding behind Charles's name because she was close to both him and Bethany. Is that
okay? I think so.
And so
I'm pretty sure
Mona was apparently stealing the file so she could repair their friendship, but they're like, maybe we don't trust Mona then if she's trying to help Leslie. And then they're also like, okay, but why would Leslie go after Shower if she's a complete stranger? Unless that was a rehearsal.
Emily brings that up before.
Please, guys, Emily gives a Brittany Bateman. Guys, what about Shower? unless that was just a rehearsal. So Hannah's like, all right, let's freaking catch her in the act. And they're going to start brainstorming about this.
And then we get a call between Mona and Leslie, which is so fucking funny.
Crazy.
Mona's calling and she's like, I did what I could do. I did all I could. And Leslie starts.
Oh my God. She says, I asked you to do one thing for me and you screwed it up. You always screw everything up. And we can imagine it goes on and on and on. And I'm like, Mona, get out of there, girl. You just don't deserve this.
And then we get our A scene and A is making a new Aria wig for their doll because they're dyeing hair pink.
Oh,
and
they sure.
Gluing
and
it
then
onto a tennis ball that will become Aria's head.
I guess so. It really is a gorgeous little wig. I'm like, okay, look at you. Look at you learning how to do things like this. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat, eh?
Let me get the synopsis up.
All right. As Phoebe pulls that up, just going to plug a few things. If you have not already, you should go listen slash watch our top 10 pop culture moments of 2024. It's on the Patreon for all paid tiers. So the cheapest tier is $3. That's not free. And you can watch the episode if you do that. And you can find out what our number one moment was from this year. Yesterday, if you're listening on Thursday the 19th, yesterday was Phoebe's birthday. She's 24 years old. So if you haven't already, you need to go wish her a happy birthday. You actually need to if you want to keep listening to this podcast. It's mandatory. And also make sure you are following us on Instagram at The Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a zero because we have a lot of fun things happening with our 12 days of Pretty Little Podcast. So make sure you're tuning in for all kinds of fun things that are mostly happening on there. We do have a sale going on our merch all the way through Christmas Eve, 25% off everything. You don't need a code to do it. So just go to the link in our bio to our Etsy shop and you can buy anything for 25% off. And we might even have a new piece of merch coming soon. So definitely take advantage. Okay, Phoebe, synopsis.
Synopsis is the girls look for evidence to prove that Leslie, no E, is their tormentor. Emily receives a surprising offer. Spencer's family pressures her to make a big decision.
Let me go.
Spencer's family?
No way.
Family?
Pressuring Spencer?
No, but I'm like, family? What? We don't see any of them ever.
Yeah, but we sure do hear about, I mean, yes, we do. We talk about Vivi all the time. Now, Daddy Hastings, on the other hand.
I'm not getting a clear picture of Spencer's family pressuring
her. I mean, Melissa
her.
Freaking Vivi, sure. Well, I'm also like, Spencer at this point is like, your family, Charles's family, Allie's my sister. Just like, yeah, that's she's true. Collecting family members. So honestly, it's the entire town of Rosewood, most likely.
That's just, we find out that it's just like, Ken saw her on the street and was like, hey, and congrats like, on valedictorian.
Spencer's father.
And she's like, I haven't taken it yet.
I haven't decided. And he's like, you really should. Anywho, okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. Please leave us a 5-star review and tell everyone you know about us. And happy freaking holidays. We love you and we'll see you next week. And
splat. Splat.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.